Raffles by E.W. Horner. A series of short stories dramatized for radio by Alwyn Weimark. With Jeremy Clyde as Raffles and Michael Cochran as Bunny. To Catch a Thief.
No, all these audacious robberies are the work of one man. I'm aware of the theory about an organized gang. I say no. One man only, and a consummate villain at that. I don't mind admitting that a famous name returns again and again to my mind. But the owner of that name is dead.
Now, listen, it goes on. Had I not seen him drown with my own eyes, I might even believe that A.J. Raffles had risen from the dead to bedevil Scotland Yard once more. There now, Raffles, you flattered?
Good old Mackenzie, and in fine poetical form. 5 raids in less than 3 months.
On the smartest houses in town.
And invariably some fashionable function or other. At the Duchess of Dorchester's costume ball, Lord Kenworthy's annual charity tea, and the Paulson wedding, of course.
They seem to think the presents were lifted even while the happy pair were being pelted with confetti. Oh, Lord. Rice.
Rice?
Yes. The doctor told me to buy a packet. Oh,
more rice pudding?
Yes, I must catch the shops.
While you're out, pick me up one or two of the least dreadful of the society papers, will you?
Good heavens, you haven't taken to reading those rags, have you?
They amuse me. Fella gets frightfully bored, you know, stuck up here.
Poor Raffles. Bored indeed. It was no easy life masquerading as an ill old man and an Australian to boot. Not to speak of being ruled over by the tyrannical Dr. Theobald.
No, 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 Mr. Maturin. You simply are not well enough.
Confound it, Doctor. A man can't have body and soul together on these swabs.
You must take my word for it, Mr. Maturin. Solid food at this stage would be a disaster.
But efficient cover it certainly was. Even I hadn't recognized Raffles, my closest friend. I'd answered an advertisement for a male nurse. Or Raffles' scheme, of course. Not the doctor's.
Believe me, if you get the billet, it'll be no sinecure. But, well, what's your name?
Manchester.
And when Dr. Theobald had left us alone...
Go on. Take one yourself.
The porter smuggles them in for me. I've smoked worse. But not like a Sullivan, eh, Bunny?
What?
Impossible. Raffles was dead. To find him again had seemed nothing short of a miracle. And here we were in an attic apartment in Earl's Court, partners in crime once more.
I've been thinking about that society cracksman, Bunny. He must have amassed a small fortune by now. And you and I have remarkably little to show for our second innings.
Well, he's got a few long singles, old chap.
But we've been playing a deuce slow game. What a partner that fellow would make for us, eh?
Hey, Jay. Tooth company, after all.
But we're the two in the bush and he's the bird on the wing.
And although the whatchamacallit didn't quite hang together, he was right. We could only play truant very late at night, or when the vigilant doctor was away. And then, only by a hazardous crossing, from our own flat roof to the one next door, with a terrifyingly sheer drop between the two.
I don't mind admitting I'd like to put salt on this bird's tail.
Hardly likely you could solve a problem that's already the despair of Scotland Yard.
You don't think so?
Quite honestly, I don't, my dear old fellow.
But a few days later, he dropped a minor bombshell. Dr. Theobald had come bursting in with the Morning Post.
Look at this. That burglar's done it again. Valuable miniatures this time. The scoundrel stolen them from the Queen's own surgeon, Sir Henry Elderton, during a reception at which Her Majesty was present.
Good God.
What do you think of that, Mr. Maturin? Don't you agree it's an outrage that this robber is still at large?
Robber? Oh, yes. Absolutely. No doubt of it, Doctor.
After the doctor had left us, Raffles threw down his pen with an air of triumph.
Well, Bunny.
Well, Raffles?
I believe I know who the fellow is.
Huh? Oh, come, Raffles. How can you possibly?
Process of elimination, my dear Rabbit. The answer to the riddle is in these society papers. Now, printed in there are the names of every person who attended those functions under cover of which all these little coups were brought off.
I can't for the life of me see what you're driving at.
Think, Bunny.
Well, When thieves break in and steal upstairs, there's not much point in discovering who was downstairs at the time.
Quite right. When they do break in.
Hmm?
But every one of these so-called burglaries has been done from the inside. By one of the guests.
It's impossible.
Exactly.
Not another word could I get out of him. And that evening, when I returned from an errand he'd sent me on with a game pie concealed under my Macintosh, I found him gone. He'd left a note.
Won't be long. Keep Dr. T at bay.
Which told me nothing, and put me in a deuced awkward position.
Mr. Lanchester!
Oh, God. Yes, I'm coming. Come on.
Why is this door locked?
I must beg you to keep your voice down. Mr. Lanchester is asleep.
Miss Irving, why is that? Out of my way, please. I should like to see my patient.
He's given me strict orders that you should not.
What?
He's had insomnia, badly, for the last 2 nights.
Insomnia?
Yes, he's quite exhausted, and he's just dropped off.
Well, why wasn't I told?
Because he forbade me to tell you. It is Mr. Maturin who employs me, you know, not you.
This is preposterous. How a conscientious practitioner is expected to... I shall be up first thing in the morning, mind, and you have to come down and call me immediately if he wakes in the night. Immediately!
Conscientious practitioner. He knew as well as I that there was nothing at all medically wrong with his patient. This Australian hypochondriac was the proverbial pot of gold for him. I picked up one of Raffles Society magazines. Inside it was a sheet of paper covered with his handwriting. Lists of names.
Well, who's that?
Sorry to wake you, old sport.
I wasn't asleep, I was thinking.
Deep thoughts, eh, Bunny?
Well, aren't you going to tell me where you've been?
Conducting a little investigation.
On the mystery cracksman?
Correct.
You mean Lord Ernest Belville?
Bunny... How on earth?
Elementary, my dear Raffles. I've been studying your lists.
Well done, my old rabbit. And you saw that his name is the only name to appear at every single one of those functions.
Apart from that of the Honourable
Hyacinth Packenstone, who we could perhaps rule out.
Perhaps so. That's quite incredible. Isn't Belville a temperance fanatic?
He is, Bunny. But to refrain from one vice is not necessarily to eschew them all.
And you're... Your investigations tonight?
Oh, not now, Bunny. You're all done in. Let's to bed. Tomorrow night, we'll slip out to that little place in Fulham and I'll tell you the whole story. I've got a plan for us.
The next day, though, we ran into a slight snag.
I want you to take two of these powders last thing.
All right, all right.
Dr. Fairbold, didn't you say you were catching the 7:10 from Paddington?
We've decided to postpone our country weekend. I explained to my wife that I couldn't possibly leave Mr. Maturin if he was going through a bad patch.
Yes, but dash it, Doctor, I shall be here.
Precisely.
I've told you already, the bad patch is over. I slept like a baby last night. Off you go.
No, it's my professional duty to stay.
But it's quite unnecessary.
Hold your tongue, Manchester.
What?
He's absolutely right.
Oh.
You may not have had many kind words from me, Doctor, but I must say your attitude does you credit. Anyone can see you take your Hippocratic Oath very seriously.
thank you.
But if you postpone your jaunt and disappoint your lady wife, I shall feel responsible, and I'll be tossing and turning all night. So do me the kindness of catching that train.
Nice champagne, this. 98, is it?
89, Bunny.
Ah. You haven't convinced me yet, you know, Raffles. How can you be so positive Belville's the man?
I visited him last night.
You did what?
Well, Lord Erklist was addressing a meeting of the Rational Drinks Society at Exeter Hall. I waited outside and dogged him home. At King John's Mansions, Hyde Park. I intercepted him at the lift and told him I was Jonas Bridgenorth.
Bridgenorth? Off the post?
That's the one, Bunny. I asked him for an interview for my column.
Are you quite mad? Belville might easily have known the man.
In which case I should have confessed to a bold journalistic ruse. Luckily, that wasn't necessary. He took me up to his rooms.
He's as poor as a rat, Bunny, title or no title.
But can't be seen lifting all these jewels.
Probably waiting to find the right fence. We know ourselves how tricky that can be. Waiter.
Yes, sir?
Another half bottle of this champagne. You can manage another glass, Bunny.
Oh, I think so.
I stuck some wax into his keyhole while he was calling up the lift for me. I filed up the skeleton today.
Why? What did he get? What?
He's going to the Kirk Leathams tonight. I saw the card stuck up.
Is he? But I still don't
understand. Dowager Kirk Leatham has diamonds as big as beans.
Oh, I see.
Not so long.
The villain means to get them from her.
And I mean to get them from the villain. Or rather, your share and mine.
Will he consent to a partnership?
We shall have him at our mercy. He daren't refuse.
Capital.
I was ready and eager for anything. I'd had just champagne enough. It was 11:30 when we walked into the lighted vestibule of St. John's Mansions.
Lord Belville, out for the evening, sir.
Yes, I know that. We've just left him at Lady Kirkleatham's. He gave me his key and asked us to wait for him in his rooms.
I'll get the lift directly, sir. Number 8, sir. Just across here. I can let you in. I've got a key here. Oh. And the light. There. All right, sir.
Thanks so much.
Thank you, sir.
You need your skeleton after all.
No, staff have a key. Interesting.
How do you mean?
Well, if, as I suspect, he keeps at least some of the stuff here, it'll have to be well hidden. There's nothing in here.
Shouldn't we bolt the door on the inside?
We should not.
Why?
If Lord Ernest finds his rooms locked up, he'll raise Cain. I'll start in the bedroom. Have a look in the bathroom, Bunny. And don't forget to test the floorboards.
The bathroom yielded nothing. And when I joined Raffles in the bedroom, he had the window open and was looking out. The room was still in darkness, so I switched on the light.
Switch that damn thing off!
Sorry, AJ.
All right, so it's all right, old man. But you and I are supposed to be in the other room, not this. But first, these curtains. Right. Now, there's a lamp by the bed. Put that on, will you?
All right.
Cheer up, Bunny. This is the room. Look at the extra bolt he's put on the inside of the door. And there's a fire escape outside the window for any necessary quick exits. You may bet your bottom dollar that if there's any boodle in the flat, he's in here.
We looked everywhere, but we looked in vain. The wardrobe revealed expensive, well-made suits, and the drawers the finest of linen. But there were few signs of luxury elsewhere, and no sign at all of any jewels.
Perhaps he's not the thief, Adia. I think we should go.
No! I'll be shot if I do. I swear I'm not mistaken in my man. You can do what you like, Bunny, but I don't budge.
I certainly shan't leave you. You may need my help. Judging by those Indian clubs there, this man keeps himself fit.
Yes, blast him. And big ones, too. And heavy as well, I should... Hang on. They're not heavy enough for their size, and I'll take my oath, they're not the same weight. Where's my knife? You see this line here, just above the red?
Mm-hmm.
Now, let me just... That's right, Bunny. Now take the end, hold him tight, and now pull. There.
Look at that.
Get the rest of the padding out in case there's more. Right. And now the other one. Got it? Pull. Oh, by Jove. Necklaces? Bracelets? Brooches? Rings? Look at the rings, Bunny. The Kenworthy diamonds, the Elderton miniature.
What's it all worth?
Impossible to say. But more than all we ever took put together.
AJ, must it be a partnership? A
partnership in Pam? Let's get out quicker than we came in. Fill your pockets, Bunny, that's the way. Now, out with the light. Curtains open. And we'll go out the window. No, wait. Let's put the clubs back as they were. No reason he should find out before he must, and it'll give us more. He's back. Quick, behind the door.
There you
are. I began to shake, but Rattle steadied me with a firm hand on my shoulder. Then I felt him turning up the collar of my coat, buttoning it, and pulling my hat down over my brow. And as Lord Belville walked into the bedroom, Raffles switched on the light.
Who's there?
Lord Ernest Belville. It's no use your making a move. This is a loaded revolver, and I shan't hesitate to use it.
I see. Police?
Scotland Yard. I'm here to arrest you for a series of robberies committed at the Duke of Dorchester's, at Sir John Kenworthy's, and at other noblemen's and gentlemen's houses during the present season.
Well, well. I recognize you now. My interviewer from the Post. I didn't think any of you Yard fellows had it in you.
With his overcoat buttoned to the chin, his tall hat, and his keen, stern expression, Raffles looked the ideal detective for fiction and the stage. What I looked like, God knows. But I did my best to glower convincingly.
Wouldn't take a share, I suppose?
I think we will regard that remark as unsaid, my lord.
Well, a drink at least. It's all right. I'm only getting out my flask.
Drink? But I thought you were...
Did you indeed? Have some?
No.
Well, in that case... Come into the other room. Oh, keep me covered, by all means. Look at these. The Kirkleatham diamonds. You'd better add them to the bag.
Thank you, my lord, we will. And now, sir, we must be going, and you will have to come with us.
Give me time to put some things together, will you? A pair of pyjamas and a toothbrush, don't you know?
5 minutes only, my lord. As I don't want to cause a disturbance here, I'll tell them to keep a cab. Inspector?
What?
Inspector, you'd better keep this revolver while I'm gone.
Huh? Here.
Back in a moment.
See, green, incorruptible, are you?
You will corrupt me.
I see. What if I were to make a break for it?
No, I shouldn't try that, sir. I will.
Then I'll try this.
He turned with lightning swiftness, and his right hand closed tight over the barrel of the revolver.
You'd better not shoot. If you do, it'll be worse for you than for me.
I will if I have to. I warn you.
Better not. Really, if you look, you'll see the revolver's pointing directly at your foot.
Even as I gazed down in horror, I saw his other hand doubled into a fist coming up toward my chin. It lifted me off my legs, and I was dimly aware of the crash I made in falling.
Bunny. Bunny. Is he gone?
Out the window.
Oh, Raffles, I'm sorry.
Sorry? Well, what on earth should we have done with him? He behaved exactly as I expected. Oh, but my poor dear Bunny, I expected you to take the bribe.
Hey, Jay.
Still, it's better this way. More convincing.
Oh, good.
We got back to Earl's Court, and Raffles managed to haul and push me up the fire escape of the house next door. By this time, I was quite light-headed, in spite of the pain.
He goes down his own ladder, we go up ours. Only his pockets are empty and ours are full.
Oh, don't talk, Bunny. Concentrate. Got to get you over the little bridge to our roof. Where the devil is it? I confound it, it's as black as pitch tonight. Oh, here we are. Hang on to the railing for your life. Take it slow. That's it. We've got you. Don't look down. There we are. Oh, damn it. Bear up, Bunny. Here, sit on the edge of the skylight. I'll put my coat around you. There. I'm going to nip down and bring you up some whiskey. I shan't be a tick.
He disappeared into the darkness. I sat in a heap, feeling sick and shivery and very sorry for myself. Then...
You have been quick.
Yes. And you've to be quicker still.
Belville.
Your servant. Out with your wrists, and if you utter a syllable, you're a dead man.
In his hand gleamed a pair of handcuffs, and before I knew it, one had snapped its jaws over my wrist. Then, with a revolver pressed hard against my ribs, he pulled me to the very bridge Raffles had just got me across, and handcuffed me to the rail midway across the chasm below. How could I warn Raffles? At any moment... And there he was, a flickering candle in one hand, a glass in the other, the perfect target.
Where are you, old chap? This isn't you, is it?
Kindly remain standing exactly where you are,
And don't lower that candle an inch unless you want your brains blown into the street.
Oh, I think I will put it down, you know.
I warn you.
Now, here you are, Bunny. Drink this. Why don't you shoot? Frightened of the noise?
Frightened?
Tell me, when did you realize we weren't the police?
It was your worthy lieutenant who gave you away. Smart detectives don't go about with rabbits to assist them. Although you mustn't put all the blame on him. It was you who were so sure I'd gone out by the window. I was in my bathroom, listening.
Ah, so you followed us?
Naturally.
Of course, the simplest skeleton would let you in the house next door.
Well, you and your friend were toiling up the fire escape.
And you were waiting for us up here.
Correct. And now, I should say you were quite helpless, wouldn't you? Your friend is handcuffed in mid-air, and I have you at my mercy. I would like my property, now!
The storm. I saw Belleville flinch in the lightning flash before that crack of thunder. I did myself. But Raffles seemed quite oblivious. The candle had blown out, and his voice came calmly out of the blackness.
You offered us a share. Unless you mean to murder us both in cold blood, which would be to court discovery and ruin, you'd do well to repeat your offer.
I am damned if I will.
Well, you could, of course, knock me out cold, as you did my friend, retrieve your swag and simply depart.
And why should I not do exactly that?
The lightning flashed again. I saw Belleville lunge toward Raffles. I struggled against the handcuffs. My foot slipped.
Oh, my God!
Stop there. Hey. Bunny, you all right?
Yeah, all right.
Good man, hold hard. Consider, Belleville, we should be dangerous enemies. You'd far better make the best of us as friends.
Damn this rain. All right, we'll talk. We're not getting soaked to the skin up here. Lead the way down to your apartment.
Certainly. When you release my friend.
Why the devil should I? He can stay here. Do him good.
I assure you, if he stays, so do I.
By God, you'll do it, I tell you, man.
I don't move an inch without him.
Then he will, and more than an inch, by God. Do as I order, or I'll unlock him and push him over. Don't think I won't.
No!
No! You watch me!
I clung desperately to the railing as I heard him lurching toward me. Another flash of lightning. In its blue-white glare, everything seemed to happen with the slowness of a dream. Raffles pushing Belleville back, taking the key from him. Then, standing for an instant on the parapet, his white shirt gleaming in the driving rain, before stepping calmly across that sheer drop like a man traversing a garden path.
Come back here, damn you! Do you think I'm...
Ah! Oh, my God, Raffles. My God. We would have killed you, Bunny. It would have been you down there.
The rest of that terrible night is still hazy and confused in my mind. Such dreams. Again and again I saw the big man stumble, his face, the dreadful fall. On the Sunday, I woke with a bad chill and a very swollen face.
The porter's been up. He told me a passerby discovered Belleville's body in the small hours.
Oh, don't remind me.
It's lucky for us that Theobald's not back till Tuesday morning. He might ask awkward questions about that jaw.
Oh.
But you won't be able to eat much, Bunny. I'll get you some of my delectable slops.
There was almost nothing in the papers, either that day or the next. An accident in Earl's Court, but no details.
He had powerful kinsfolk, you must remember. More hot tea and whiskey, Bunny.
Yes, please.
Oh, by the way, I've prized up a floorboard in the bathroom and I've stowed our hall under it.
On Tuesday morning, when I heard Dr. Theobald's knock, I ducked quickly into the bathroom and tried gingerly to scrape off my 3-day stubble.
There's a man from Scotland Yard downstairs.
Scotland Yard?
Well, what does he want? But there was some sort of accident next door the other night. He wanted to know if we'd heard anything. I told him I'd been away and that you were far too ill to see him. I said he could speak to Mr. Manchester.
My God! Where is he, by the way?
Up. He's getting some books I ordered. Tell the man to come up. I'll speak to him.
What?
I couldn't possibly allow it. You're not at all well this morning.
Tell him to come up. And you stay down.
I opened the bathroom door half an inch. And I couldn't believe my eyes.
Good morning. It's good of you to see me. Mr. Maturin, is it? Inspector Mackenzie of the Yard.
The Yard, eh? Must be an important case.
An important family, sir. They requested a quiet investigation at the highest level.
Do you know, it's quite a coincidence it should be you coming to see me, Inspector.
Oh, why is that, sir?
As it happens, I've followed your career with great interest for some years now. I often see your name in the newspapers.
Oh, is that so?
I've got a great admiration for Scotland Yard, you know. Best in the world, I'd say, and they're lucky to have you.
Oh, you flatter me, sir.
I never flatter. It's not our way down under. Now, what did you want to ask me, Inspector? Fire away.
Ask? Oh, aye. Last Saturday night, did you hear anything unusual between the hours of, say, midnight and 2 a.m.?
Wasn't there a storm that night?
Aye, there was.
Well, I heard that. And I heard the snoring of my nurse. He sleeps in that bed over there. Sounds like a herd of wild boars at night. Between him and the storm, I can't say I noticed anything else.
Nothing, sir.
Nothing? Sorry, I can't help you more.
I didn't really expect it, sir. A formality. Well, I won't trouble you any further.
Been an honour to meet you, Inspector. Cheered me up. You can imagine my life's not exactly full of excitement.
Oh, I expect not, sir. I'm very grateful for your cooperation. Mr. Maturin. Interesting name, that. Dutch, is it?
Australian, as a matter of fact.
Oh, I do notice your accent now you mention it. Well, I wish you good morning.
Goodbye, Inspector. Before you go, do tell me, have you caught your society jewel thief yet?
Oh, not yet, sir. But we will. You can wager everything you own on that.
Well, perhaps not quite everything, eh, Bunny?
Most amusing, eh, Jay? Yeah,
wasn't it? By the way, Bunny.
What?
You've got shaving soap on your nose.
In To Catch a Thief by E.W. Hornung, dramatized for radio by Alwyn Weimark, Jeremy Clyde was A.J. Raffles, and Michael Cochran, Bunny Nanders. Henry Stamper played Inspector Mackenzie, Gordon Reed, Dr. Theobald, Terence Edmund, Lord Ernest Belville, and John Hartley, Mr. Maturin. Other parts were played by members of the cast. The Raffles theme music was composed by Jim Parker, and the sound balance was by Keith Perrin. To Catch a Thief was directed by Gordon House.